This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Philippians with rejoice always, think about these things, and supply every need. Then we move to the prophet Zephaniah with swept away and I will punish. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Acts 2. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Know when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord,
please rise.
You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not.
What is the second commandment?
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean? What is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and glad to hear and learn it.
In the name of Jesus. Brothers, what shall we do? This was a response to the sermon delivered by Peter on the day of Pentecost. What was the sermon's main point? God has made Jesus both the Lord and Christ. This Jesus, you, with the Greek emphatic, you crucified. You killed the promised Messiah. A very powerful preaching of the law. Those who heard this were cut to the heart. So they responded by way of a question, "Brothers, what shall we do?" A wrong question. No one can be saved by doing something. But what else could the natural man say? Behind this wrong question, we once again observe the twin problems of all of us that were also found in that rich young ruler last week. Free will in relation to God and the denial of original sin. At the time of Dr. Luther, this view was the norm in the catechetical tradition he received. Look at a faithful mirror or a small handbook for Christians written by Dietrich Kolde, published in 1480. This catechism was so popular that it went through at least 47 editions. It began with the theme of how one is to believe, that is the creed, to say yes to free will, continued with how one is to live, the Ten Commandments, or that is to say no to the original sin, and then ends with how one is to die, the prayers. God intends to give eternal life to those who keep his commandments and eternal damnation to those who do not, says Cody. That's chapter 3. But unfortunately, he continues, there are few of us who keep them. This is why Jesus himself says, few are chosen. That's chapter 22. You should know that according to the canon law, the penance we receive from the priest is not sufficient, even for the least mortal sin that we have committed. Therefore, it is necessary for us to do even more penance, for example, by groaning, crying out, I don't know what that means, begging help, giving alms, private mortification of the flesh, sharp clothes or belts around the body, or by disciplines, or virgils, or humbly going to pilgrimages. Additionally, we are to say our penance with great devotion, on both of our knees and with great desire, just like a criminal who asks the judge for forgiveness. Cody then ends with this statement by going back to what he stated at the first, at the beginning. Any person who follows this humble instruction and lives by it will become holy and will be saved. So what do you think if your pastor tells you and announcing the forgiveness of sins in holy absolution, and afterward he comes to you and say, well, Naomichi, the absolution that you just received is actually not sufficient even for the least of your sins that you have committed. These are additional works, assignments. Why don't you do a lot of work? Why not start by wearing the sharp clothes? Luther wanted to impress the hearts of God's people that our problems are not as trivial as the medieval catechisms has imagined. Our problem of sin is much bigger than what our free will can handle. Luther used even a visible aid as woodcuts to teach this fact. Do you remember the woodcuts of the first three commandments? The golden calf, Exodus 32. Then the son of Shelomith, who blasphemed the name of God, that is recorded in Leviticus 24, for the second commandment. And the man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, Numbers chapter 15, for the third commandment, obviously. In each of the stories, God executed those sinned against him by stoning them to death. God ordered Moses to do it, and it was done. God is therefore extremely serious about his commandments. He revealed our sinfulness also by uncovering our actual sins as fruits of original sin. Now, Peter did not dismiss the people who asked the wrong question on the day of Pentecost. Indeed, he delivered the name of Jesus with further teaching and preaching both before and after baptism. Peter was a Lutheran when he proclaimed, "Repent and be baptized, passive, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." He delivered forgiveness of sins through preaching, that is the main point of the third commandment, and by bestowing his name in baptism, the second commandment. People did not do anything actively to be saved. They did nothing and only received the gift passively, the name, and pledged out. It is great that we have a resident expert when it comes to our understanding of the name of God, the divine name. I'm talking about our provost, Dr. Gieschen. He knows more about the divine name than any other people of the whole world. Maybe that's exaggeration, but I don't think so. He knows all about the name. I trust that he would not disagree with me when I now say that in the scripture, God's name stands not merely as a noun, but also as a verb. God's name is not a thing, not even his person alone. Rather, it is about all that Jesus has done for our salvation. When people of Jerusalem were baptized, they have received the greatest gift of all time, the name of our Lord in holy baptism. There is no other name by which we must be saved, Peter later on preached in Acts chapter 4. How about Numbers chapter 6, right after the benediction, Aaronic benediction? "So shall they," namely Aaron and his sons, "put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." When God put his name, he commits himself to that place with his blessing. When you are baptized, the Lord has put his name on you with the water. The location of his commitment is you. With his name comes all the work he has done for your salvation. Jesus alone is the Lamb of God who bears the sins of the whole world. He was handed over to death for your sin and was raised for your justification, Romans 4. Now concerning the third commandment, I love what Dr. Luther wrote in his catechism hymn, Die sind die Heiligen Zehn Gebote, these are the holy Ten Commandments. You can take a look at it in your hymn book 581, verse 4. It sings, "Put aside the work you do so that God may work in you." In other words, essentially, the Lord's Day is your day of vacation. Every Sunday you go to church for vacation. You have a bonus here on campus. In addition to the Lord's Day, you get to come to this Cramer Chapel every day to spend a little time of your vacation during a busy time of active duties of studying and reading. Luther and Melanchthon also explained that we keep the Lord's Day when the works of your old Adam and your free will cease. Rituals, ceremonies, church year, stained glass windows, bells, incense, candles, they all exist not for themselves or even for our liturgical piety, but rather to assist the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, predicted out. The Reformation was more of the preaching revival than a liturgical revival. Dear fellow baptized, therefore here you are for your little vacation moment in the chapel. It is good to hear the voice of our good shepherd. Again, to paraphrase Luther's large catechism on the first commandment, let our Lord Jesus alone be your God. We are given such wonderful gifts as the Lord's name and his sermon office, the predicament, despite our sinfulness. Our Lord is good. Amen. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember all LCM Mass personnel and chaplains, including Mario Ancira, Curtis Bultmann, Tim Evans, Carl Mueller, Eric Nieder, Ryan Schnake, Joseph Seifert, Ryan Mills, Eric Malmstrom, Christopher Sutton, Nathaniel Jensen, Jonah Dominicelli, Alan Hosier, Cassie Hosier, Preston Curligard, Christian Simpson, and James Seat. Let us pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those who work, for those whose work is difficult and dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and the homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For safety and protection for all LCMS military personnel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For LCMS chaplains, that the Lord would strengthen and bless them in their work, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety. Govern her by your goodness and bless her with your peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart. By the patience and comfort of your holy word, may we embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this time from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.